Me too. I am a little disappointed, though, because Mike is only played two instruments today. He usually plays three or four, so we're going to have to chip in for a kazoo or a banjo or something. And thank you. Thank you, Brian and the team. So today we're talking about God's action, being much more than we are aware of, being much more than we think. So before we get into it, let's bow our heads and pray. Mighty God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the chance to be in this place, to be connected online. For your Holy Spirit draws us together, whether we're sitting next to each other in the chairs or whether we are somewhere in cyberspace. It doesn't matter. You have united us together as a family. So we ask that you would teach us your word today, that you would help us to understand just a little bit more your role in our faith. And for that, we will always be grateful, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, in a world where it seems the number one priority is to achieve some kind of fame and get rich as quickly as possible because of that fame, people who work behind the scenes don't really get that much attention or respect, do they? That was a question. Do they? No, they don't. Of course they don't. In the area of sports superstars, for example, Mike Murphy plays a small but an essential role for his baseball team, the San Francisco Giants. Back in 2010, he helped the Giants win their first World Series in 52 years, and Mike was on the job for the entire 52-year journey. But you wouldn't find his name on the scoreboard. You won't see him endorsing products for millions of dollars in advertisement. He'll never make it into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Murph, as they call him, has been with the team since 1958, starting as the team's bat boy before moving up to the roles as clubhouse attendant and finally the equipment manager. Throughout those 52 years of faithful service, Murph has worked behind the scenes cleaning shoes, ordering hats, whatever was needed, so his much more famous teammates could achieve success. According to an article in the New York Times, if anyone embodies the 52-year endurance test of the San Francisco Giants to reach baseball's summit, it is Mike Murphy. That's one reason why the owner of the team handed the World Series trophy to Murphy first in the clubhouse, so he could then present it to his teammates. And later, at some point during the wild post-game celebrations, I'm not exactly sure what those wild post-game celebrations are like. It's probably kind of like you celebrate when my sermon is over. But during the celebration, the reporter noted that Murphy turned to a clubhouse attendant. He pointed at some bags. He said, "Get them on the truck." See, there was equipment to be loaded on the truck. And even in the middle of the celebration, when no one else was paying attention, Murphy was at work, working. This guy was working even when the team didn't know that he was working. Now, in a great, much greater, in a much more extreme sense, God is also working all the time, even when we're not aware that God is working all the time. In effect, you see, God's action is much more active than we really ever thought it was. So take a look at today's text in John 6, beginning in verse 43. Now, just a little earlier in the verses, Jesus has referred to himself as the bread of life that has come down from heaven. And that really freaked out the crowd. They didn't know what to make of that. They started saying things like, "Isn't this Joseph's son who we all watched grow up? Does he have a screw loose? Somebody get this boy some professional help." And not long after, they go to the default reaction of most religious people. They start complaining. Can you believe that? Religious people complaining? I mean, can you believe it? And then on the verge of arguing with each other about what Jesus means, they're pretty into it deep. And then we pick up in verse 43. "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up on the last day. It is written in the prophets," and then he quotes Isaiah 54, "they will all be taught by God." That's the quote. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one who has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I'm the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. That is, they died of natural causes. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So what in the world is going on in this passage? Well, we see firstly that God is completely active in drawing us to himself. See, after he tells the crowd to stop grumbling about his humble background, right? Joseph's kid, how dare he talk to us like that? Jesus says something that many people, especially American Christians, don't really like to hear. That is, our choice about whether or not to be a follower of Jesus is not really completely our choice. I don't mean this is predestination, so all you Arminians, that is, you free choicers, can take a deep breath. There was a guy named Jacob Arminius many centuries ago. He posited the idea, got famous for believing in free choice, and people who follow him are an Arminian. So you're an Arminian if you believe in free choice. Well, just take a deep breath for a second, because I'm not talking about predestination. But God's action in our choice to follow him is not a passive thing. Here's the reality, according to classic Christian doctrine, that all Christian churches hold to. We are rebellious. We are sinful human beings. We've talked about that before. And the truth is that we are so rebellious toward God that we would never, ever, there's that Taylor Swift theology again, we would never, ever, ever choose to follow Jesus if it were totally up to us. So God is always proactive in seeking us. After all, Jesus tells us in Revelation 3:20, here I am, I stand at the door, and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Sharing a meal in the first century was a sign of very intimate, close relationship. God is actively seeking us, constantly searching for us, always knocking, because we would not follow him completely on our own by ourselves. God loves us so much that he has even taken the lead, the initiative, if you will, in coming after us, because you and I are spiritual couch potatoes. We're spiritual slackers to the highest degree. So God takes the initiative, and folks, that is very good news. Now, I want you to think for a moment. Think about a situation in your life, real or imagined, hopefully real, where you truly cared for someone, a relative, a friend, a neighbor, a significant other, whoever it is. And for whatever reason, things aren't so good with them. And whatever you try to do to restore their relationship, they just reject it flat out. They're not interested at all. And you try and you try and you try, but no matter what you do, they just don't respond. Have you ever been there before? I have. The question is, how long could you do that before you quit? Have you quit, maybe? If you have, there's no judgment from me. It's completely understandable if you did. I mean, how long could you do that before you got bitter or sarcastic or just didn't care anymore? Well, friends, that's the same dynamic that you and I have with God. However, God keeps pursuing us. No matter what. God keeps seeking us out, keeps knocking at the door. God never stops because he loves us. And bitterness and sarcasm and a lack of caring never enters God's mind. Why? Because he loves us, no matter what. And we're just going to have to get used to that. God keeps seeking us out. He keeps knocking at the door. He never stops because he loves us. And that hope that we have to be left alone to our own misery, have you ever felt like that? I wish everybody would just leave me alone so I could be miserable on my own. That's never going to happen with us because he loves us no matter what. The further you run away, the longer God pursues you. The more intellectual we think we get as we declare, there probably is no God anyway. And if God exists, God doesn't care about me. The more we say things like that, the more God just smiles and says, isn't that cute? Bless your little hearts. And he comes after us anyway. The more we say one thing and do the other, the more God keeps up pursuit of our hearts. My friends, be grateful today because God's action towards you is much more active than you often think because God loves you more than you think. Next one, God is completely active in teaching us. Take a look at verse 45 again. It's written in the prophets, and he quotes Isaiah 54 there, they will all be taught by God. That is to say, Jesus says, everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him will come to me. That is Jesus. You know, I think we've all had a favorite teacher or two in our lives, haven't we? For whatever reason, we connect with that man or woman and we are interested in what they have to say, even if we don't find the topic interesting that day. We can see that they care about what they do, that they're interested in us, and we almost feel pointed toward their direction based on the connection that we have with them. When I was a kid, my brother and I were 4 years apart. Well, actually, I'm not a kid anymore. My brother and I are still 4 years apart. When I was in grammar school, we came home from school one day and we were sitting there having a snack, talking to mom, and my brother, Russ, 4 years younger than me, said to my mom, you know what, Mom? I think I want to be a school principal when I grow up. And I said, and I looked at my mom, and mom said, well, why is that, Russ? And she said, well, Mr. Pankhost, who was the principal of our school, the Emma C. Atlas School, ECA all the way, go Crusaders. Mr. Pankhost is just so nice. That's the way it is with God. What God teaches us, although it's important, is not as vital as the connection God makes with us while he's teaching with us. The principal and my brother had a connection. I think it was because every day he would come in and he would open my brother's snack pack pudding. Do you remember the snack pack puddings when they were in metal cans and they had the little pop top and you could actually like cut off an arm while you were pulling those open? Every day he'd come in, he'd say, Russ, hand it to me, and he'd open it up. He just thought that was the greatest thing. There was a connection there. Well, God creates a connection with us while he's teaching. And that's the most important thing, because while God is teaching with us by his Spirit, he's pointing us to Jesus. Again, here verse 45. It's written in the prophets. And where does he quote? Anybody remember? Isaiah 54, right. They will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. So, God draws us and God teaches us. If we're open to God's teaching, we're being drawn to Jesus. Because if we connect with God, we will automatically connect with the Savior. So, what's next? Well, the third one is God is completely active in his sacrifice for us. Not only does God pursue us, not only does God teach us, but God has made the ultimate sacrifice so that the drawing toward and the teaching of God can have a final and forever effect. You know, the gospel is very simple. You and I were separated from God because of the sin in our life. There is no one who is separated from that. We all have a tendency to run away from God. And the Bible says that the penalty for that is death. But through the person of Jesus, God came to this world and he said, I'll take their place. And so instead of you and I dying for our sin, Jesus died for our sin. He saved us from dying for our sin, which is why he's the Savior. He made a way for us to have forever life, to have a chance to live if we want it. Here's the incredible reality of the gospel, and it shakes me to the core every time I think of it. It is incredibly humbling. But before I tell you what that is, let me offer an earthly example to help explain it. Have you ever had an encounter? And I hope the answer is yes, and it probably is. Have you ever had an encounter with your child or your grandchild where you offered help, but they rejected it? You offer help to your child or your grandchild, no matter how old they are, and they rejected it. You know, let me help you get that toy off the higher shelf. I don't want you to hurt yourself. No. I can do it myself. Let the church say, uh-huh. Yeah, we've had that experience. And even though they rejected the help, you helped them anyway. Like, if they're older, they're going to get home from school and have to go straight to work, but there's no gas in the car, so they won't be able to get to work. So I'll go fill it up so they can get to work. They haven't thought of it, so I'll do it. Or they need to deposit that check so it can clear by Monday, but the bank closes in an hour. I'll just run that down for them. They haven't thought of it, so I'll do it. We do little things like that all the time for our kids and grandkids, even when they don't want us to or know that they need to have them done. Isn't that true? We do it all the time. Why? Well, because we know better. Duh. And we can see a little further down the road than they can. We do something that our kids and grandkids didn't even know they needed or wanted. We do it all the time. Now, on a much larger scale, the biggest scale of all, you and I, left to our own devices, don't care about God at all. We don't care who Jesus is. We don't care what God teaches. We don't care if there's a standard of truth. We even don't care if life is every man and woman for themselves when we just walk around like undead zombies shuffling through life. And even though I could care less, even though I could care less about God if it were totally up to me, even though you could care less if it were totally up to you, even if we didn't believe in the existence of God at all, God in the person of Jesus did something that you and I didn't even know we needed or wanted. In the midst of our rejection of him, Jesus still made a way to heaven if you want it. Wow, that's heavy. I have a hard time saying good morning to somebody if they're mean to me. Do you? So friends, what will you do? We still have a choice in relation to this very active God of the universe. Even though God softens our heart to accept his grace, even though he is knocking on the door pursuing us, we still need to let God make an impression on that softened heart. We still need to let God, or to open the door and let God in. Friends, I stand before you very grateful that God's actions are much more active than I ever thought they were. Because when I was ready to buckle down and make a decision to follow, God had already pursued me to that point. He had already taught me to that point. He had already sacrificed for me to that point. God brought me along, even though I didn't even know I was being brought along. So how about you? Who has control of your life? The answer is a little more involved than the typical reply, I am. Friends, God has brought us to this point. Will you follow his lead and follow him even further than you are now? Because God still knocks. The question is, will you answer? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this chance to be together, this opportunity to worship you, to sense your spirit and your presence. Lord, as we are coming out of this pandemic, we still feel like we're stumbling. We still feel like we're falling. We're not exactly sure what things are, how they'll be, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. We're all still trying to get our feet underneath of us. And you're there the whole time saying, let me help. And we're there the whole time saying, no, I can do it myself. Lord, remind us today that you are more active than we think and that you love us far more than we could ever imagine. Open us, open our spirits to your activity. For wherever we are right now in our life, you have been pursuing us and will continue. Because we can run, but we can't hide from your love. So Lord, let us respond to your knock. Please make an impression in our soft hearts so that as your people, we can share with the world that not only is there a God who loves them, but who is pursuing them right now. Lord, make us a part of that pursuit, and we'll thank you forever in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's stand and worship God.